Blog Talk Radio.
Not a second or another minute, not an hour or another day, but at this moment with my arms outstretched, I need you to make a way, as you have done so many times before. Through a window or an open door, I stretch my hands to thee. Come rescue me, I need you right away. I need an hour of another day, but Lord, I need you right away. If I never needed you before to show up and restore all of the faith that I left while I was yet searching the world for more, the truest friend I have indeed. You're my best friend, I know in me. I stretch my hands to thee. Come rescue me, I need you right away. The agony of being doing things on my own, the tests and trials that come to make me strong, the feelings of guilt, hurt, shame, and defeat, the ways of trials that beat upon me. But to know, Lord, that in you not another minute, Lord. Can't wait another day, oh, oh, Lord. Please make a way. Oh, Lord, oh, Lord.
Good morning. Welcome to Worldwide Gospel Connection. First, give honor to God, who's the head of our life. Remember, the number is 563-999-3628. Call in, press 1 if you want prayer, or if you just have a word. Let me give you the scripture for this morning. The scripture for this morning is Colossians 3:17. And whoever ye do in the world and deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and to the Father by him. Colossians 3:17. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him.
Amen. Good morning, and welcome to the Worldwide Gospel Connection. I am Pastor Daniel Douglas, along with other than my lovely co-host, to the hostess with the mostest, none other than co-pastor Kashima Douglas. We're here to inspire, encourage, and strengthen you on this morning through the Word of God, like we do always. We love to have you guys aboard. We love to have you guys on. Coming in and listening in and partnering up with us every morning to listen in to the Worldwide Gospel Connection. Today is Women's Day Thursday, and we're just excited about today's broadcast. We have a fantastic woman of God that will come on this morning and share, but thus says the Lord, as my wife say unto us on this morning. We're just excited about what God is going to do. But before we go any further, guys, let us go into effectual fervent prayer. Gracious and eternal Father, we come to you thanking you for this day. God, we thank you for the activities of our limbs. God, we thank you for allowing us to wake up, God, clothed in our right mind. God, able to give your name praise, glory, honor, and dominion, God, just unto you that is due to you on today. Father, we realize and understand that all things work together for the good of them who love the Lord and who are called according to your purpose and the purpose that you have set and orchestrated and manifested inside of us, oh God, on today, God, we stand in it right now. God, we work the work of him who has sent us while it is day, for when night cometh, no man can work. We thank you, God, for the ability, God, for being the willing vessel that you have called us to be. God, we come today, God, asking, God, that if you would, God, just speak to these your people that are under the sound of our voice on today. God, and let them know, God, that there is an encouraging word. There is a strength word. There is a word of power that is going to come down from heaven on today. And give unto them the understanding to know, God, that even though the storms may be great, the issues may be great, God, but you're able to do exceedingly abundantly above all you could, what you could ask, I think. So this morning, God, we pray that you would silence the noisome pestilence. God, we ask that you would quiet the chaos. God, we ask you to remove anything from their hearts. God, that will keep them from receiving your word on today. God, we pray that the words of our mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our redeemer. In the mighty and rich name of Jesus, we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. We want to make sure that we acknowledge those that are listening in on this morning or countries that's overseas. We thank you guys again, as always. We're just excited about you guys partnering up and being a part of the Worldwide Gospel Connection. And without you, there is no us. So thank you so very much for all that you do. We have the United States. We have Canada. We have Brazil. We have Ghana, we have Guyana, we have Nigeria, we have South Africa, we have Kenya, we have Jamaica, we have Germany, Saudi Arabia, China, and we have Hong Kong. Thank you guys so much for listening in. And we do realize that there are those of you all who are preaching the gospel overseas, and that you are at a place of challenge. You're at a place of challenge because of what you do. Believe and understand, we know where you are, and we are praying for you consistently. We're praying for you constantly that the grace and peace of God shall abide on you guys' lives, and that you'll find the favor of the Lord on your life in every shape, form, and fashion. That no matter where you may find yourself at, know that God is not just able, but he is well able to do exceedingly abundantly above all you can ask. I think only thing you have to do is just trust in him, and he will direct your path. He will put you on that direction that you need to go in, and only thing you have to do is continue to trust in him, and he will show himself strong, and he will show himself mighty in your life. Amen. Amen. And remember, guys, we are here for you. We are here for you. We're calling on the name of the Lord for you daily. We're calling on the name of the Lord for you daily. And we're like you. We're expecting God to do something mighty. We're expecting God to do something mighty. And we're gonna rejoice with you when it happens. And we're gonna say the words of the great words of that Bible, or the Bible that says, it's the Lord's doing, and it's marvelous in our eyes. Amen. 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 Now on to our PSA for today. On to our PSA for today. Our PSA for today is going to come from Acts. Coming from Acts chapter 3, verses 6 and 7, Acts chapter 3, verses 6 and 7. And it says to us like this. It goes like this. But Peter said, I do not have silver or gold, but I do have something else I can give you. By the power of Jesus Christ from Nazareth, stand up and walk. Then Peter took the man's right hand, lifted him up, and immediately the man's feet and ankles became strong. The man's feet and ankles became strong. Okay. Now, on yesterday, I was sitting and something fell into my spirit. And again, I'm going to say this. I'm going to say this, and it's going to be a little bit of a it's going to hit some places that we need to talk about. Come on, let's just get into it. The Bible tells us about Peter, and he was talking to this man, and the man was at the gate called You're Beautiful. He was going into the temple at the gate called Beautiful, and as he was going, he was standing in front of the church, and he was asking for alms. Mm-hmm. Okay, those of you all who are not familiar with alms, this man was asking for money in front of the church. Now, standing at the gate of a beautiful place, asking for money as the people came by. Now, Peter and John were going into the temple at the time of prayer, and they were going and they saw the man and they were asking for alms. Now all these people have passed by this man asking for alms. You're going into the place called Beautiful, you're going into the church, but you don't have the power to sit up there and speak to the man's issue. We're going to get to that in a minute. Listen, so here the man is standing at the gate and is asking for alms, and Peter and John is going into the gate. And as they're going into the gate, he begins to ask Peter and James the question. Now, Peter says to him, silver and gold have I none. He said, but this that I have, I give unto you. On yesterday, I posted into my Facebook page a very controversial posting. I put into a very controversial posting. And in that posting, I said with no uncertain terms, and I'm a man, I'm gonna stand on what I said, and if y'all wanna have a conversation, come on, let's talk. I said on my Facebook page, I said, How can you pastor people and don't like people? How is it that you can put your Cash App, but you can't ask that person for their Cash App? Then I proceeded to say, if you do ask them for their Cash App, you do it on the Facebook page where your 6,000 friends that are just like you can say that's real ministry. And I said this. I say, if this made you mad, if you're wondering if I'm talking about you, I say, if you're wondering if I'm talking about you, if you got mad when you read this, my grandmother used to tell us all the time when we were growing up, if the shoe fit, lace it up. If the shoe fit, lace it up. We have turned ministry, or we have turned this thing called coming to the house of God into a glory-seeking place. And one of the worst things is that the people that are coming, the lost that are coming, are leaving out saying, this is just like the place I'm trying to leave. I don't even want to be here. Because what we have done is we have turned ministry into a money or a gain, a profit gaining situation. Now, you could have over 5,000 people in a conference. Back then, before the pandemic hit, you can have 5,000 people in a conference, and you can sit back and you can minister to 5,000 people, and then you can ask them to give a gift, a share in the gift. Now, I don't have no problem with anybody after you get through preaching asking for a gift, asking for a love gift, asking for a benevolent offering. I don't have an issue with that. I really don't. But when that is the only focus for you coming, if that's the only reason for you coming, I get it. We are in a place to where, yes, the Bible tells us money answereth all things. The Bible tells us that. It also says the love of money is the root of all evil. When you get so to the point to where your mind is not on ministry, Lord, I'm going to take this money and I'm going to sow this money into the people and not put it on Facebook. I had a young lady that said something to me. She'd say, Pastor, I want you and Lady Douglas to help me do something. She said, we're going to do it, and we're just going to go out and do it. He said, we're going to talk to people face to face. We're going to talk to people over the phone, call people, have people come and help us over the phone. She said, we're not going to, when we get there and we do it, she said, we're not going to post these people life on Facebook. She said, we're not going to post these people life on Facebook because they're already going through hell enough right now. Why would you put their calamity on Facebook? I said, I told her, I said, I can respect that. I can get behind that. I'm going to tell you why. Because we have gotten so to the point to where we're losing people by the thousands, not by the tens, not by the fives, but we're losing people by the thousands due to coronavirus, due to the pandemic. We're losing people. They're dropping like flies, ladies and gentlemen. And my thing is, they're leaving this earth. And my question is, who was there that had the relationship with God that actually touched with them and agreed with them and prayed with them and asked them, do you know God? Do you know Jesus as your personal Savior? Because what we have done, ladies and gentlemen, we have taken the opportunity that we have and we have squandered it. I know that this is not what we need, what we wanted to hear on this morning. We wanted to hear an encouragement word, Pastor Douglas. But sometimes we have to talk to the matter. And see, when we talk to the matter, we can make people understand that it's more than just us talking about give me your cash app. Give me your cash app and let us bless you. Let us bless you. Let the people of God bless you, man. And I am vexed in my spirit because last night, as I sat there and I wrote that, I know that there are going to be people that are going to have something to say. That I know that somebody is going to have something to say. But my thing is this: you can say all you want, prove me wrong. That's what I'm going to tell you. Prove me wrong. You ain't got to do everything that you do on Facebook. I get it right now. We have to do Facebook for certain things. We have to do YouTube for certain things. We have to do Zoom and all that stuff for certain things. But it's. Can I be honest with you? Let me help you to your happy place. Let me bless you to your blessed place. Sow into the people who need to be sold into. Get a group of people together. I need y'all to make some phone calls and get some cash apps. Make some phone calls. Let's get some cash apps. Let's get some money together. We're going to send it all to one individual person, and we're just going to go down the line and just start sending people money into their cash app. That's what real ministry is about. Peter met this man at the point of need, not the point of want. Let me go a little bit deeper. Let's go and find out what they need in their refrigerator. Hey man, listen, I'm calling. We're in the process of getting some things together. What is it that you're lacking right now in your house? You need any bills paid? Do you need any food right now? Is the kid straight? Are you straight? Do you have gas to get back and forth to work? What is your work status right now? I'm not trying to get in your business. I want to be there to try to help you. What is it that you stand in the need of that we could help you with? That's why I told God, I said, God, make me a millionaire and I can show you better than I can tell you. I can show you better than I can tell you. I can't help the world. I can't help everybody. I'm one individual person cannot help everybody. But I guarantee you, I'm going to help as many people as God lay on my heart to help. Because I look at it like this. This is my opportunity to prove to this world that Christ is real. That the love of God is real. Let the love of God dwell in you richly. He say, silver and gold have I none, but that I do have. What do you have that you can sow into somebody's life? You may not have money. You got a refrigerator, though. You may not have a refrigerator. Listen, you could take some of your Lone Star card. I'm just going to get real deep. You could take some of your Lone Star card and help some people. Let me go buy some lunch meat and some bread and some chips and some little juices, and I'm going to make some lunches, and we're just going to drive by the freeway, and we're just going to start giving away lunches. I'm just saying. So this is my PSA for this morning, and I'm going to leave you with this. When was the last time you let the love of God dwell in you richly? I'm going to leave that right there. God bless you. We'll be right back. You listen to the Worldwide Gospel Connection.
Hallelujah, praise. All over the room. We worship the Lord. I want us to worship God for just a moment. We talked about one sound. Everybody say one sound. There is a kingdom sound. There is a kingdom sound. Everybody say that. There is a kingdom sound. Say it again. There is a kingdom sound. And I want you to understand this, that there is always a sound that precedes a move of God. Everybody say that. There's always a sound that precedes the move of God. Whenever you will find deliverance, wherever you will find healing, wherever you find a move of God, it is always associated with a sound. I want us to take just maybe 30 seconds, and we're gonna sing this song. We're gonna raise it as an offering to the Lord. But I want us to take about maybe just 30 seconds, if you will. Brother, I just want you to minister on that guitar. I want you to raise your hands in His presence and let's just worship God all over this room. Come on, everybody, let's worship God all over this room. Hallelujah. sing together, children. Come on.
Hallelujah.
Will you declare? Voice of the corporate man, sing.
Hallelujah.
Now you get personal, say,
you have won it all for me.
Come on, say, death could not hold you. Declare that you're
to go into the word of the Lord and share with you from 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 17 through verse 19. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 17 through verse 19. And the word of the Lord reads as thus, and it says, "For the time is come, the judgment shall begin at the house of God. And if it first began at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing as unto a faithful creator." I want you to repeat this after me. Righteousness and holiness is still required. Righteousness and holiness is still required. In this particular chapter of 1 Peter chapter 4, in a brief synopsis, it deals with the grace of God in the Christian's suffering. What is suffering? Suffering is the unavoidable and inevitable trials and tribulations that one must face in this Christian walk. We most commonly call it trouble. Many of us are facing trouble all around us. Trouble that we've never seen before. But the Bible said in Job 14, 1, that a man that is born of a woman, he is of a few days and full of trouble. Our consistent prayers are about the things that we're going through. But the text tells us here in verse 12 of 1 Peter chapter 4. The Bible said, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. If it be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye." So what you are going through, God has allowed it in your life. We can't take away the fact that you're dealing with the vicissitudes of life. But God has left in his word, in Psalm 46 and 1, the Bible said that God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. But something has happened to us in the church. What do you mean, woman of God? It seems that a spirit has come to deceive us in this hour, that because we are going through trouble and because we are dealing with our trials and tribulations, it causes us to think just because you're going through trouble that we can just come to church, clap our hands, shout and dance, sing in the choir, preach the gospel, that we can live any kind of way. But we must understand in this house that the devil is trying to deceive his people, the God's people. He's trying to make us say that God understands our heart. But I read the Bible when the Bible told us, God said in his word, that we must understand when we know what's right to do and we don't do what's right. The Bible said it is a sin. James 4 and 17 says, "Therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is a sin." We've got to be careful in this hour because we're going through things we don't understand. We're going through trials and tribulations. and we're praying and asking God to bring us out. But when we don't know how he's going to do it, we don't know when God is going to do it. But in the meantime, the Bible tells us we got to be holy. We got to live right. And I heard God in Genesis chapter 18. I heard the Lord having a conversation with a man by the name of Abraham. The Bible said that God said to Abraham, I need to tell you something. He said, I'm getting ready to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. He said, save Abraham. He said, I'm coming to you because you will teach your children how to live right. You will stand for what is right. But Abraham, I'm getting ready to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. And Abraham asked God, if there is 50 righteous, will you save the city? And God said, if there is 50, I will not destroy it. Then Abraham, he began to ask the question, if it lacks 5, will you save 45? And God said, yes, I'll save Sodom and Gomorrah if there's 45. Abraham said, but God, if there's only 30 righteous in the land, will you save the land? And God said, if there's 30, I'll save Sodom and Gomorrah. Abraham said, but if there's 20 righteous, will you save the land? And God said, yes. Abraham said, what about 10? If there is 10 saved and righteous in the land, will you save the 10? And God said, yes. But the Bible said that God sent the angels to go into Sodom and Gomorrah to destroy the city. It went down to 10 righteous. Woman of God, what are you telling us tonight? I know you're waiting on God to bring you out. You're waiting on God to turn it around. But God is calling for righteousness. God is calling for holiness. If the Lord started having a conversation with Bishop Charles Harrison Mason and asked him, should I save the Church of God in Christ? Should I keep them on the face of the earth? I can hear Bishop Mason say, they are 6 million strong, but I believe that 6,000, if you would save the Church of God in Christ, because 600,000 are righteous. I hear God said, yes, I'll save the church. If there's 350,000 that are righteous, will you save our church? And I hear Bishop Mason said, I started this church on holiness. I started this church on righteousness. And I don't care what they are doing, but I recognize we gotta go back to what we know. We gotta go back to his holiness. Oh hell, we gotta go back. That I gotta live right, not just on Sundays, not just at the convocation, but I gotta be holy on Monday, holy on Tuesday, holy Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. I gotta go back. And I heard the Bible tell us that we've got to go to a place where righteousness exalted a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Righteousness and holiness is still required. We got to live holy. Yeah.
John chapter 11. I'm going to skip around, so just follow me if you can. John chapter 11. The Bible says, now a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. And it was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sisters sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. And when sickness, and when Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God. This sickness is not unto death, but this is for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Verse 14, then Jesus, and then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. But I thought you just said that this sickness was not unto death. But now he's saying Lazarus is dead. He said, yeah, he's dead, and I'm glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent that ye may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. Okay, so you wait till he died, and now you're ready to go. All right. Verse 17. Then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave for 4 days already. Verse 20. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou wouldest been here, my brother would not have died. Verse 23, and Jesus said unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Verse 24, Martha said unto him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection in the last day. And Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection, Martha. I am the life. And he that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Do you believe that, Martha? Verse 34, and he said to her, and he said to Mary, now where have you laid him? They said unto him, Lord, come and see. The Bible said that Jesus wept. Talk about empathy. Jesus, therefore, verse 38, again groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. Jesus said, take ye away the stone. Martha, take away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead for 4 days. Jesus said unto her, said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, that thou shouldest see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and he prayed. He said, Father, I thank thee that thou heardest, that thou hast heard me. Verse 43, and when thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth bound. He was bound. His hands were bound and his feet were bound. And he was bound with grave clothes. And his face was bound with a napkin. That all preaches by itself right there. Jesus saith unto him, now loose him and let him go. He's all bound. His hands, his face, everything about him is bound up. But look at your neighbor on the right and say, neighbor, watch me come out of this. Woo! Look at somebody else and say, watch me come out of this. Oh, y'all must never been in nothing. You must have never wanted to prove a point. Look at somebody and tell them, you just watch me come out of this. Because I'm about to come out of this in the name of Jesus. Coming out, I'm coming out of it. Coming out of it in Jesus' name. Father, bless your word and we thank you for it. Have your way, speak in this house. Be God, do whatever you want to do. We yield this whole floor to you. We yield the moment to you. We're just your people. You are using us, but God, we need your glory. Have your way in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. On your way down, hit somebody and tell them, watch me come out of this. Watch, just watch. Woo, watch me come out of this. Hallelujah. See, that's a witness in the room. Somebody's getting ready to come out of something. If I don't say anything else, you already heard the word of the Lord. Watch me come out of what looks impossible. Watch me come out of it. Watch me. Watch me. Watch me come out of it. Sit down, y'all. Let me just try to come at it. Let me give you some words so you can back it up when you get home by yourself and you find yourself in a closet and you say, hey, watch me survive this. Watch. You watch God. Watch me survive this. All around me is sinking sand, but on Christ, the absolute greatest preacher that the world has ever known was a man whose name was Jesus. And everywhere he went, he carried the gospel through the foolishness, is what the Bible says, of preaching. Everywhere he would go, he would turn entire cities upside down. Wherever he went, multitudes would follow him. And without a mailing list or a database, without a television program, without a microphone, without a book deal, without anything at all that we think we have to have today, he preached his message until multiplied. Thousands of people followed after him. Out of all of the great preachers that we have in the world today, none will ever be able to compare to him. Because he did not just have a word. He was the word. He was the word that was made flesh and he dwelled among us, the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And he preached. And when he preached with unprecedented power. Now, I told you last week, as he would move from city to city to city to city, he was very careful at the houses that he would stay at. And yet, when he would come to Bethany, there was something always in him that would gravitate to the home of Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. And I believe that the reason he would gravitate to their home was because, number one, they knew who he really was. And number two, he knew that they would host him. He knew the people in that home was going to honor him. He knew that they loved him. And then he also knew that they were loyal to him. Now, loyalty, and I plan to preach on this sometime, hopefully pretty soon, if the Lord says the same. But loyalty, it was a really big deal to Jesus. And because it was big to Jesus, I've learned that whatever is big to him, I tried to make it become big in my life as well. As a matter of fact, the subject of loyalty is massively important in the eyes of God himself. One of the reasons that it is so important to God is because it was disloyalty, which is the opposite of loyalty, that disrupted heaven's unity and heaven's peace and heaven's tranquility. And if you've ever experienced disloyalty, it becomes unforgettable in your life. It was disloyalty that was fueled by pride that became the catalyst for Lucifer's rebellion. Let me say that again. It was disloyalty, and that was disloyalty that was fueled by pride that became the catalyst for Lucifer's rebellion. It fractured eternity into two. I said it fractured eternity into two. And all of a sudden, now the universe of the light has got to be introduced to something it had never seen before, which was the realm of darkness. So darkness and light had to come face to face. Never before had God's kind, considerate, generous, compassionate, loving heart been so violated as when Lucifer caused the first church split. I believe that is why to this very day that the issues of loyalty run deep in the heart of God. And I don't have time to really go into all the bits and pieces of loyalty today, but let me try to summarize it like this. Heaven had a church split, and one of God's most powerful angels, to whom he had given incredible glory and honor, to whom he had made beautiful, decided to allow all of the power that God had given him to go to his head, and he became filled with things like pride and betrayal and deception and disloyalty, and ultimately he started using the power that God had given him against the very God that gave it to him. And as a result, he swayed a third of heaven's angels over to his side. But the thing that we must know is that he has never been and he never will be a match for God. Because when God got finished with him, he cast him and his cohorts out of heaven and put them into the earth. And to this very day, one of the things that God hates is those who sow discord among the brethren. We have underestimated that scripture, and we have not taught it like it needs to be taught. But if you want God to bless you, you have got to have a loyal spirit. And if you want to go through hell and high water, keep on being disloyal. Because God hates those who sow discord, all right? I heard a friend of mine this week, I was talking with him, and he gave me an incredible definition for disloyalty. And he said to me, disloyalty is using the privilege that someone gives you as leverage against them. Let me say it again. Disloyalty is using the privilege that someone has given you against them. Look at somebody next to you and tell him, God hates it. So when Jesus found loyalty among the family of Bethany, he went to their house and he rested. Will you just look at somebody and tell him, I dare you to be loyal? See, we pray for God to answer situations we put before God for him to answer. And many times we don't understand why he's not answering them. But I'm going to tell you today, could be that the reason he's not answering them is because our spirit is not loyal to God and to the things of God. David was loyal to Saul. I cannot, Cheryl, you cannot preach this today. But David was loyal to Saul, even though Saul was not loyal to David. And God turned around and gave the kingdom that belonged to Saul to David. Hello? It pays to be loyal. Okay, here's another one. Abraham and Lot. Abraham was loyal to Lot. He didn't even have to take him with him. He didn't have to bless him. But when they got out there and he got blessed, it all went to his head. He done lost his mind. And now the land can't bear them. And Abraham goes to Lot and he says, you pick whatever land you want, but we can't continue to walk together like this. Why? Because Lot was disloyal. He takes the best part of the land. It looked like he got the best of Abraham. But trust me, when your heart is right, and you're pure, and you are a loyal person, God will always save the best for the last. He looked like he got the best part, but what he ended up with was Sodom and Gomorrah. The loyal spirit that Mary and Martha and Lazarus had, it did not exclude them from trouble, because I don't care who you are, where you're from time to time, every last one of us will go through trouble. And when you love God like they loved God, and when you love God like we love God, and you find yourself in trouble, sometimes it can be confusing. Sometimes it can be bewildering when you get the kind of doctor's report that they were talking about today. It can be unsettling, but let me just give you a heads up that the Bible warns us about things like this. And he tells us that our light affliction, which is but for a moment, will work for us an exceeding eternal weight of glory. And it never ceases to amaze me just how heavy those light afflictions can be to us. You know what I'm talking about, suffering beyond any sense, and it can leave you speechless. Betrayal that has caused your heart to be broken into 1,000 pieces. A disadvantage that makes you feel as if your life and your destiny and your purpose is now devastated. And yet, what does the Bible call things like that? Light affliction. An unfaithful spouse. A drug-addicted child, a bankruptcy, a pink slip off of your job, an eviction notice on your door, a doctor who says, I am sorry, but we've done everything that we know to do. The Bible calls them light afflictions. You got a daughter that will not speak to her mother. You have a son that will not speak to his father. You have a sister and brother who despise each other. And the Bible calls them I'm faithful to the church, but I've got a light afflictions. I'm serving the Lord. I'm faithful to come to choir rehearsal, but I've got some light afflictions. I'm raising my kids by myself, but I'm still raising them, but I got light afflictions. I am a leader, but I got light afflictions. I am so blessed that I know there are people that literally hate me, but what they don't see is that up underneath all of the blessing, I do have some light afflictions. And can I tell you today that there is nobody who has ever lived for any length of time and not had to endure light afflictions. But let me remind you what the scripture says. Light afflictions which are but for a moment. Whew. See, that's the good part about that verse right there, because that means it ain't gonna last forever. It means even if I can't fix it, if I can just stand still, and if I can just hold on, and if I can survive long enough, I can outlast it, and I can outlive it. Look at somebody on your right and tell them it's about to be over. It's almost over. Tell somebody else it'll be over in a minute. It'll be over in a minute. And if the truth be told, I want to encourage somebody today by telling you that the things that have seemed insurmountable in your life, the things that have seemed nearly unbearable, the things that have seemed unjust and unfair, the things that you might be facing even right now as I'm speaking to you, those things are really usually never even about you. Somebody has said, why am I going through this? Why is it that my load is so heavy? This just ain't right, God. Have you ever went to God and just said, God, this ain't right? This ain't, why me of all the people in the world? Why would you expect me to carry such a weight as this? But I came to the Potter's House North today to remind somebody that whatever you are under right now, it ain't even about you. It is not about you. Oh, yeah, you're in it. You're living it. You're facing it. You are enduring it. You are confronted with it. But it is really not even about you. The Bible said that when Jesus got the message, this is the Message translation, he said, this sickness is not fatal. It will become an occasion to show God's glory by glorifying God's Son. He said, this ain't about you. This is about my glory. He said, this ain't about you. This is about my glory. I know it's inconvenient, and I know it's frustrating, and I know it's disappointing, and I know that it is painful. But I never told you that I would come into your life to make you comfortable. And I never told you that you would never be frustrated. And I never told you that you would never be disappointed. And I never told you that you would not have pain and have to cry from time to time. And you, by the way, let me remind you, you are the one that said, use me, God. So how about you let me do that? How about you let me use you? And I'm going to use you on my terms. And it's going to be for my glory. Because, see, God is saying, I need somebody that I can take through the fire who will not get burnt up. And I need somebody who can pass through the flood and not drown in the middle of it. I need somebody who can handle pressure and not bail every time it gets a little bit heavy. I need you to let me use you for my glory. Hit somebody around you and ask them, can he trust you with trouble? Some of you have been wondering why you've been going through what you're going through. God said, I've just been trying to see if I could trust you with trouble. This ain't about you. This ain't about me forgetting you. I ain't forgot you. I know right where you are. I know every head that is numbered on your head, every hair numbered on your head. I know where you are. This is about my glory. My God, never. To me, there has never been a time in the church where we have had more available to us to mature us and to grow us. And still we got people in the church who refuse, who absolutely refuse to grow. Even in spite of the fact that we got great teachers and we've got great preachers and we've got great tools. We've got software. We've got streaming. We've got downloadable books. Now, you don't even have to wait to go to the bookstore to get it. You've got audible books, books that you can listen to. We've got podcasts. We've got schools of learning. We have been exposed to now, in our generation, we've been exposed to more than any previous generation has ever been exposed to. We've got all kinds of stuff to make us grow and to make us strong. But I don't know. There's so much weakness that is in the church. People who are hurt so easily. People who are offended so easily. People who can't take nothing. People who are always looking for an excuse. They are victims and they are proud of it. Powerless and proud of it. No anointing, but they're proud of it. Well, Pastor Brady, I have just been through so much. I've been there. I've been through so much. I've been disappointed by so many leaders. Well, guess what? You have disappointed quite a few leaders, too. Y'all don't like me, but I'm going to tell you the truth. You've disappointed some leaders. And you've disappointed some people, too. And by the way, whoever told you to put your confidence in people, in leaders, in man, God said, you might say, well, I lost all my confidence. No, you didn't lose it. You just misplaced it. You put it in the wrong place. You put it in people, and it should have never been in people to begin with. Well, I guess I'm just disappointed because I actually never thought that the church would be a place that I would get and end up so hurt and have to deal with so much pain. Well, guess what? The church should not be the place where you have to deal with so much pain. But you have got to have something in you that reaches beyond church, that reaches beyond people, that reaches beyond leaders. And you got to have something that anchors you to God Himself. Because if you don't have that, you will never survive the storms of life. This room is full of people that's been hurt by church. But we have something that reaches beyond all of that stuff. And we grab hold of God and say, God, they may fail me, but you will never fail me. And it's you I came to praise. And it's you I came to worship. And it's you that I came to learn from your word. But today we're still looking for something tangible. We're looking for something tangible that we can lay a hold of, a man, a woman, a person, a personality. But let me tell you something. When it comes to things that are tangible, you're dealing with things that are changeable. And so you can't always lock into things that are tangible because they are changeable. And that's why you got to have something that goes beyond just the church and just beyond something that's tangible. That's why you can't come to church and look at somebody who was in one place last week and now they're in another place, because people will switch up on you because people are tangible. You got to grab hold of something that doesn't change, and that is Jesus. He is the only one who is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. How long are we going to call ourselves Christians and still trust in flesh? How long are we going to call ourselves Christians and come to the house of God and serve Him and praise Him and worship Him and still not know Him? Well, Pastor, I've been in the church for many years. I'm not talking about knowing the church. I'm talking about knowing God, because there's a difference between knowing the church and knowing God. And here's how you can tell what is what. Here is how you can tell which is which, because the people, when you find people in the church that are strong, it is people that know God. It's not people that know church. People that are strong are people that know God. Sometimes you go through stuff and people look at you and they say, I don't know how in the world you are able to handle that. It's because what I have is more than just Sunday morning church. What I have is God. And the Bible says, for the people that know their God shall be what? I said, the people that know their God shall be strong, and they shall do exploits. I'm going through, but I'm strong. I've been through the fire, but I'm strong. I lost my job, but I'm strong. I've hurt, but I'm strong. I'm weak, but I am strong. How can you say I'm weak, but I'm strong? Because his strength is made perfect in my weakness. Therefore, through it all, somebody holler, I'm standing strong. And I'm telling you, I'm going to close out 2019 standing strong too, because God is going to display his strength on the page of my life. And when he gets through painting the final touches on my disappointment and my discouragement and my setbacks, it will be such a divine display that even my enemies will have to say, the Lord is with that Cheryl Brady. I'm telling you, God is. Touch somebody around you and tell them, be strong in the Lord. Because it ain't about you. You didn't tell him that. Tell him it ain't about you. It's about his glory. It's about his glory. It's about his glory. I'm at my wit's end, but it's about his glory. I don't know how to fix it, but it's about his glory. I'm walking the floor in the midnight hour, but it's about his glory. I'm in shock because I didn't see it coming, but it's for his glory. I'm broken. I'm humiliated. I am embarrassed, but tell somebody, it's for his glory. So when I asked God to use me, I had no idea. When I said, Lord, I want you to use my life, I had no idea that it would be in this kind of way. I mean, I was thinking maybe you would anoint me to preach, or maybe you would gift me so that I could be able to sing, or maybe you would give me influence so that I could lead people. When I said use me, that's kind of what I was talking about. I was thinking maybe you would touch me so that I could touch people. When I asked you to use me, and when I asked you to give me power, I was thinking you would give me power so I could break yokes. I asked you to give me power so that I could lose those who were bound. But instead of giving me those things, you chose to give me a light affliction. And God said, yep, that's exactly right. That's what I chose to give you. Do you know why? Because I'm looking for a people, and I'm looking for a generation who I can point to and say, look at these people. They know how to go through trouble, but they still know how to praise me. They know how to worship me. They still know how to dance. Their heart is broken, but they still come in and smile, and they still come in and celebrate. They don't even know where they're going to eat afterwards, but they're here anyway because they love Jesus. He said, I'm looking for that kind of people. I'm looking for a generation who will stand up and say, hey, I just count it all joy. It ain't all been joyful, but if I add everything up, I will count it all joy. And in everything, I will give thanks. Oh, I will look at delay and say, at least you're not denial, because I trust the Lord. God said, I'm looking for people who don't flip out and freak out and throw in the towel and start doubting my faithfulness just because I don't come at their beck and call, because God said, I'm not your bellboy. I'm God from everlasting to everlasting. I am God, and beside me there is none other. Woo. I don't move according to your time. I move according to my time, because I'm the one that made time. I'm the one that is time. So whenever I get there, rest assured that I'm always on time, because I am God. He said, I heard you the first time you called me, but I can't come after you right now. I can't come after you right now, because this one right here that you're in, this one ain't about you. This is about my glory, so I can't lift the burden yet. Ooh, I don't know who that's for, but God said, I can't lift it yet. I can't snatch you up out of it yet. I can't rescue you yet. I can't come in there yet. Because if I come now, then I won't get enough glory. If I come right now, I can't get enough glory out of your life. In fact, the reason that God puts you where you are is because he said, I want to get some things out of your life. And it, I can't come yet because it ain't bad enough yet. It ain't bad enough yet, because you know what? If he brings you out today, people are going to say, oh, yeah, I see. It was the counseling that brought them out. It was their mama that brought them out. It was the medication that the doctor put them on. That medication brought them out. It was their quick thinking that brought them out. It was their talents. It was their skill. It was all of their ability that brought them out of what they are in. So therefore, God said, no, I got to wait. I got to wait until nothing is working in your life. I've got to wait till you reach the end of your rope. I've got to wait till you come to the end of your game. I've got to wait till you come to the end of your power and your might and your strength. And then I have to show you at that point that without me, you can do nothing. I got to get to that place where if I don't fix it, you know that it won't be fixed. And if I don't do it, it won't be done. And when you finally do come out, you will know, oh, the only way I came out of that was God. And he was God all by himself. And what will your testimony be at that point? To God be the glory. Tell somebody, tell your neighbor, God is up to something. He's up to something. How do you know? Because I'm in stuff that I can't get out of. I'm facing things that I can't fix. My hands are tied. It's beyond me. It's bigger than me. This can only mean one thing. Tell your neighbor, God is up to something. If it was about the devil, God would have rebuked him. He would have delivered him, me from him. He would have loosed me. So since I can't pray it away or fast it away or confess it away or believe it away, then I've got to know the reason it ain't going away is because it's for my good and for his glory. So if God has not answered your prayer, it's because he's up to... Tell your neighbor, he's about to get glory out of your life. I don't know who I'm talking to today, but God wants somebody to know that what you're facing right now is going to be for his glory. Thank you, Jesus. When Jesus heard that Lazarus was sick, he said, this is not about Lazarus' death. This is about my glory. Somebody shout glory. Woo! Sit down. I got to hurry because I'm going to tell you what that glory means. The word glory there means the full extent of the thing. It means the full stretch. Why don't you stretch right where you are right now? It means the full stretch. Maybe some of y'all wake up now. It means the full stretch. And a full stretch can be painful. A full stretch can be uncomfortable. However, periodically, God will take us through things. He'll take us through things so that the fullness of who he is will be manifested through us. See, this is what we have to understand, that the very glory that's going to come out of, if glory ever comes out of a person's life, if you sense glory when they speak, if you sense glory when they walk into the room, if you sense glory when they play an instrument, if you sense glory when they open up their mouth and begin to talk and sing, if you sense glory, you have got to know that that glory came out of the stretch, and that stretch came out of pain. And because you cannot claim glory without stretch marks. I said, you cannot claim glory without stretch marks. Don't be trying to tell me you got glory and you ain't ever stretched for nothing. You ain't ever reached for nothing. You ain't ever had to get out by yourself and say, Lord, I'm going to die if you don't help me. If you don't throw me a lifeline, I'm going under this time. I'm telling you, you don't get glory without stretching. You can't just want it. You can't just be entitled to it. There has to be a stretch. There has to be a press in your spirit, because you will never understand your potential until somebody has forcefully pushed you to your limit. When you've been pushed to your limit, that is where you find out where your strength ends and God's strength begins. Lazarus' sickness was stretching his sisters to their limit. We talked about it last week. Mary and Martha, they were God-fearing women, but they were completely opposite. One was all up in the spirit. The other was all in doing carnal things, natural things. So there's friction between the two of them. But when sickness hit their family, it pulled them together. See, I don't know if you know this or not, but sometimes, most of you probably already know this, but you can have all kinds of tension in your house. The family reunion can be crazy. Everybody dreads to go. Nobody wants to be there. They know it's going to end up in a fight. But I'm going to tell you something. Let somebody get on their deathbed. God help you. Let somebody get on. It'll pull your entire house together. Look at somebody and tell them trouble will pull you together. Trouble will. Yes. Sometimes God will use a Lazarus's bed to help pull everybody in your house together. So God is saying, Lazarus, this isn't really about you. He said, I'm just going to use you to pull your family together. I'm going to use your problem to cause them to understand that they got to go back to calling on my name. They got to go back to praying like they've never prayed. I'm going to use your sickness to cause them to appreciate one another, to understand that there is power when we touch and when we agree. See, you may not know this, Lazarus, but I'm going to use your bed to fix your house, because I hate division and I hate a divisive spirit. So I'm going to use what you're going through to pull your sisters together. And so they got together and they started working, and they tried to comfort him. They tried to cover him up and keep him warm. Is this the warmest blanket that we have, Martha? I think he needs another one because he's pretty cold. They tried to console him. Laz, listen, we've done put the word out. Jesus is coming, you know. He's going to come. He's going to see about us. Because, you know, we've been good to him, and this is his home. And when he finds out, when the word gets to him that we are in trouble like this, I'm telling you, Laz, he's going to come. You hold on. Just keep living. Just hold on, Lazarus. Because I'm telling you, he loves us, and he's going to be here for us. Is there anything we can get you? His voice is weak. His voice is frail. And it's nothing like somebody that you love who is sick, who their voice is weak. Nothing like that to raise your sensitivity level. And no matter what they say, it's almost like you can hear it because you have leaned into their pain. The reason you've leaned into their pain is because you love them. There was nothing like trouble and sickness and pain to make you live on high alert in the lives of those that are around you. Mary and Martha came together. They prayed together. They worked together. They strategized together. Mary, Martha, this is his favorite food. Can you fix this for him? Sure, I'll fix that for him. Let's try to see if we can just get him to eat a bite of these potatoes. I don't know if he'll even take them, but let's just try. You, Mary, you go in there and you sit with him, because I don't want him to be alone. I don't want him to think he's going through. That's fine. I'll go sit with him. They came together. They pulled their resources together. You do that, and I'll do this. And I'll do that, and you do this. They did everything they could, because like I told you last week, when somebody you love gets in trouble, you are right there with them. Trouble had pulled them together. And once trouble pulled them together, all of life's little issues and all of life's little discrepancies and disappointments and all of the little nitpicking that they were doing with one another got pushed to the side, because real trouble will make you push stuff like that to the side. Master, Martha and Mary really need you to come see about Lazarus. He's there. Can't you just stop what you're doing and come and heal him? No, I can't do it yet. What? Why? Because I need an exceeding weight of glory. Let me tell you something. Next time it feels like God has forsaken you in your fight, and you have been in it way longer than you think you should have been in it, ooh, don't charge him foolishly. Just tell everybody, you watch, I'm going to come out of this. But it won't be in my time. It'll be in his time. When you feel like God has forsaken you, just say a prayer. Anchor yourself down deep. Hold on and start looking for an exceeding weight of. Quit looking at the trouble and start looking for the glory. Because I'm telling you, somewhere in the middle of all that trouble, the glory is going to come in and swallow up the trouble. I know some of you have had a rough year in 2019, but I came today to tell you that the greater the pain, the greater the glory, the greater the pain, the greater the glory, the greater the pain, the greater the glory. And the reason God couldn't come and deliver you earlier than he has is because he's not going to cheat you out of your blessing, and he's not going to cheat himself out of his glory. Master, Master, never mind, he's dead. Your friend, you know, the one you loved, Lazarus, he's dead. Jesus is wonderful. Come on, let's go see about him. See, sometimes God will let it get to the point of impossibilities so that you cannot claim any glory for it. He said, now, this is too much for them, but it's just right for me. He gets to the door, and guess what? Everybody's mad at him. If you'd have been here, my brother would not have died. He said, just hush your whining, okay, Martha? Stop complaining, because this ain't even about your brother. That's the whole problem. You think this is about your brother. You think this is about Lazarus. But this ain't about Lazarus. This is about my glory. Mary and Martha, I know that you might not understand this right now, but I had to wait until you couldn't carry it any further. I had to wait until it was out of your control. I had to wait until you finally realized that you could not handle this. I had to wait till you completely gave up. I had to wait till you came to the end of your rope, because that at the end of your rope is the place where miracles take place. So now all I'm asking you to do is show me where you laid him down. Take me to the place where you finally stopped believing I was going to come through. Take me to the place where you decided to step back and get out of my way. I don't know who I'm talking to today, but God said he'll get the glory if you get out the way. I said he'll get the glory if you will get out of the way. Some of you are standing in the way of the biggest miracle you have ever seen in your life. He said, all I'm asking from you, he said, I want you to show me where you gave up on him, because that's where I'm going to pick up on him. I want you to show me where you quit, because if you'll show me where you quit, that's where I'm going to begin. He said, if you'll show me where you stop, then I'm going to show you where I start. So show me, take me there, take me to that very place. Master, I can't take you there. He's been in there 4 days, and he's stinking by now. See, the thing, those of us who are in the body of Christ, the thing we don't understand is we want to hide all the stinky stuff from God. Martha's trying to hide. But God don't care nothing about that. That's what he wants you to invite him into. He says, invite me into your stink. If anybody can handle it, I can handle it. See, we want to show him what we're proud of. I'm so proud of this, God. Look at my contribution letter. Look how much I have given to your house. Lord, I've been faithful. I've only missed one Sunday out of the last two. I've been so faithful, Jesus. We want to show them the clean little neat things about our life. We want to show him our church attendance. We want to show him how we were there for all of the outreaches that we had. We want to show him our ability to sing, to lead, to preach, and do all of that. But God said, that's not what I want to see. He said, I want you to invite me into your failure. I want you to invite me into your mistakes. I want you to invite me into your shortcomings. I want you to invite me into your sin. I want you to invite me into your stink. That is exactly where I want to come, because I do my best miracles in the worst messy places. So invite me into your mess. If you got it all going on, then obviously you don't need me. But if you ever take a minute and cry out to me and open up the doors of your heart and say, I failed, I messed up, I'm a mistake, God, I need you to help me. He said, that is right where I want to be. They got to the tomb and the crowds began to gather. They started coming from everywhere. Jesus looks around and he sees them and he says, yeah, this is what I'm talking about right here. I had to gather a few more witnesses, because if I'd have went to the house, only a handful of y'all would have saw what happened. So I had to put some more people at the table. And I had to take your trouble and put it on blast. Has God ever put your trouble on? Oh, y'all scared to say amen. That's okay. We saw it in the paper. We know already. God is about to cause your pain and your trouble and your mess and your misery. And he's going to take it and he's going to work it up for an exceeding. That means above anything you've ever imagined. Wait, and not just an exceeding weight of glory, but an exceeding eternal weight of glory. Whew. Look at somebody and just prophesy right now. Get your anointing out right now. Get your anointing out. Don't touch them if you ain't anointed, but look at them if you're anointed. Grab their hand and say, the pain of your story is producing the weight of his glory. Now I'm going to say that again. I said, the pain of your story, whatever you're in right now, the throes of what you're in, the thing that's making you cry at night, the thing that's making you walk the floor, you keep wanting God to get you out of it. And he said, I can't get you out of it, because it's the pain of your story that's producing the weight of my glory. And the weight of my glory on your life is what sets you apart. It's what marks you. It's what makes you not average like everybody else. Can I tell somebody in here, God would have never taken you through what he's taken you and allowed you to survive it if he was not going to bless you. So whatever you do, don't die right now. Don't quit right now. Don't throw in the towel right now. And don't faint right now, because I want you to tell somebody around you, something is about to happen in your life. Now I want you to turn to somebody else and say, neighbor, something is about to happen in my life. My peace, my joy, my strength, my influence, my stamina, my opportunities are going to another level for our light affliction. Oh, I said our light affliction works for us. I said it'll work for you, and it will become an exceeding eternal weight of glory. Woo! Tell your neighbor, it's working for you. It's working. Oh yeah, I saw you cry, but it's working for you. I've heard you walking the floors, but it's working for you. This light affliction. Oh, hey, and get this. The light affliction only lasts for a moment, but the glory is eternal. Oh, you are coming into something that you will never come out of. It's a blessing that is eternal, perpetual, permanent. It ain't got no end to it. you the years that the caterpillar and the locust have eaten up. I don't know who this is for, but God said to tell somebody, I'm getting ready to make it up to you. I'm getting ready. I said, I'm getting ready to make it up to you. Lazarus! Lazarus! Look at somebody telling him he knows your name. He's about to call you by name. And when he calls you, he's going to bring you out of stuff that you should not have been able to get out of. You should have not got out of that grave. That stone should have not moved out of his way. Some of you are wondering, how am I going to get out of debt? How am I going to get out of sickness? How am I going to get out of these charges? How am I going to get out of this relationship? How am I coming out of this depression? Because he's going to call you by name. Cheryl, come out of it. Come out of it. He'll call you until you hear him. I said he'll call you till you hear him. Look at somebody around you and say, shh. Do you hear what I hear? I hear something. My life has been in trouble, but I hear something. My marriage has been in trouble, but I hear something. My house and my family has been in trouble, but I hear something. My ministry has been on hold. My business has been on hold. My vision has been on hold. My integrity is on the line, but I hear something. I've been buried in some stuff. I've been isolated. I've been lonely. I've been left for dead. Oh, but I've heard something. And there is a glory that's coming out of your story. I said there is a glory. I tell you to tell somebody, there's a glory coming out of your story. There's a glory coming out of it. And God is going to pull all the liars and all the gossipers and all the people that said you would never make it, the folk that said you would never last. He's going to bring them all together, and they are going to witness the glory that is on your life. Now, rock with somebody and tell them, watch me come out of this. I'm coming out. I've been in a mess, but I'm coming out. I've been confined, but I'm coming out. I've been limited, but I'm coming out. I've had stones in my way, but I'm coming out. I've been in a place I've never been before, but check this out. God is bringing me out. And the grave clothes that were on Lazarus, one by one, strip by strip, began to unbind him. They unbound his hands. They unbound his feet. Tell somebody, go where you want to go. They opened his eyes, and now he could see. His vision has come back. His means of transportation have come back. Look at somebody and tell him, I'm coming out of this. I wish I had 20 people that believed what your pastor is saying today. God is calling me out. I heard something. I hear him. He's calling my name because he wants to restore unto me all of the years. That means the time. That means the days that were wasted. The people that wasted my time, that wasted my opportunity. God said, I'm coming you out. I'm calling you out because I know your name. If not you, I know your name's Lazarus, but you're not who I'm after. Not you, not you.
Now, there was a lot of Lazarus that was sleeping in that tomb. He said, but you, yep, you, you're the one I want, because your blessing has got your name on top of it.
Scripture is Romans 10 and 9. If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Again, Romans 10 and 9. If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved.